Job chapter 9 and verse 33. Neither is there any days man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon his us both. Now, Job has a problem. You remember that when sin came into the world, it was the broken commandment of God, and the gospel followed in 3:16 of Genesis, 3:15, where thou shalt bruise his heel, he shall bruise thy head. And you remember that when the law came, it came to the Israelites, but God revealed the Lord Jesus and the wonders of the gospel vastly later. And you will remember too that in your own life the law came first and then followed the gospel. So there is a progression. Now you will also note in the book of Job, which is easily seen there, that God has retribution against sin. This country is under the retribution of God. There is no doubt about that. It's very plain on every hand. We have some of the worst statistics in Europe for the way our houses and families and our streets and young people behave, and our older people. And we daily are brought down in shame. So then, you have in Job very clearly this, that when a nation sins, God punishes it. When a world sins, God punishes it. Those things are well known to Job and they're behind us. And therefore Job faced a problem. When God punished him, as he thought, where was his sin? Now, Job wrestles with that problem. That problem comes out in the Old Testament in two ways. And it's worth grasping this, because every person you ever talk to about the gospel wants this answered. The first way the problem comes out is this. It says, if a man has done righteously, God will bless him. If a nation has done righteously, God will bless him. If a world has done righteously, God will bless the world. That is very plain. And the converse is, therefore, likely to be true. If a man has done wrong, God will punish him. If a nation or a world does wrong, God punishes. Now, Job is faced with that problem. He is suffering. Remember, the word Job means hated or persecuted. And therefore, he is here being hated and persecuted. Now, Job's problem is this. Does God love him or not? You see, it seems that God has set his face against Job. Job has the same problem as every Christian. An inadequate grasp of sin and an inadequate grasp of grace. And there isn't one Christian in the world who doesn't have that. None of us know God's punishment for sin sufficiently, and none of us know God's blessing of grace. I have just been reading the life of Daniel Rowland, and when Daniel Rowland came to his church in Wales, the people came to listen, not just in hundreds, not just in thousands, but virtually the whole countryside for five counties around gathered round his church, and they stood in expectation as Daniel Rowland rose and told them that they were condemned sinners. And as he spoke to them, hundreds and thousands realized that they were hopeless and lost in sin and could not get out. And as he applied the balm of the gospel, those people realized that Jesus had died for them. They realized, in other words, the greatness of their sin and the greatness of grace. It was a wonderful scene. There have been very few scenes like it in the whole of British history, like the people who gathered there Sunday after Sunday in silence and waited for Daniel Rowlands to come. Some were converted as he took morning prayer or evening prayer. This prayer book has converted many people in its time. People were converted. Harris, the next great preacher, was converted just by morning prayer and nothing else except hearing it explained by Daniel Rowlands. And so he went home, and as he left the church, he shouted to the first group, I am born again. And they looked at him as if he was mad. And he shouted to the next group, I've been born again. And people began to realize he became a great preacher of the gospel. The thing you and I need more than anything else tonight is what Job lacked: a sense of sin and a sense of grace. And when we get those, they'll change our lives. No one will have to tell us that you've grasped those, because the change in your life will be immediate and obvious. Everybody will see. Nobody will be left in the dark. This is what Job lacked. Now, God set out to teach him, and it's a very wonderful thing that happened. What God did was strip the man of everything. Everything he had. And until God strips us of all we have, we've not a hope of proceeding. Because there was a second man in the Bible who hung naked on a cross, stripped of everything that men lean on, life itself. And those two men have the answer to sin and grace. And Job points on to the second one. This Job didn't understand, Jesus did. Job couldn't see grace. Jesus was grace. Grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Oh, isn't it a wonderful thought that from Job we can learn those two things? Now, the question that bothered Job was this: God appears to be angry with me. Is he angry with me or not? Job couldn't understand it, because he hadn't done, in his estimation, anything to deserve that anger. And that's exactly where you stand. What have you done to deserve God doing this to you? What have you done to deserve God killing members of your family? What have you done to deserve God putting you in this position? Why has God done it to me? And that is what every cry of every heart is. And the answer is, we have never understood. Now, what Job wants more than anything else is an answer to this question. Neither is there any days man between us that might lay his hand upon us both. What he says is this: I'm a man. I cannot reach God. I can't argue with him. And God is condemning me. How can anything be done about this? Now, a daysman is an umpire, and that's very simple. I want somebody who can stand between God and me, lay one hand on God and the other hand on me, and talk with authority. Now, he knew very, very well that the friends couldn't answer that. They were completely stuck. The answer comes in 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, the mediator there is wonderful, who gave himself a ransom for many, an antilutron, hooper. And it means just this exactly. It means he gave himself instead of many, on behalf of many. So that is what Jesus did. And what Job is seeing here is a question which earth cannot answer, which Jesus answers. So then, what you need is Jesus. And when you go home, you kneel down and you ask God to show you those burning answers you need in your heart by Jesus. Jesus is alive. He's more alive than I am in this pulpit. He's more present than you are in this meeting. He's here between us, and he's able to talk to you. Don't imagine that you're going to go home to an empty house. He will speak to you if you're sincere in asking, and if you'll do whatever he tells you to do. You remember what he said to his mother said to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And that is what you need to do, to cry out to Jesus, to find out this great problem that's between you and God. Now there's a second question in Job. Would you turn to chapter 14 and verse 14? And this is another question that troubles the whole of mankind. It's this: if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. And the answer is given by Jesus at the grave of Lazarus, John 11:25. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. That is the answer to Job. Now let us see what it is here. Eliphaz and Zophar are saying to Job, your suffering is a result of your sin. Job's answer to the first round of speeches, which go from chapter 12 to verse 14, is here. And Job says in chapter 12 verse 2 something which shows what he's thinking. No doubt ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. What Job is saying is what you need to say. My answer cannot be provided by any man in the entire world. There is no man who can answer my problem. There isn't a single one. The only one who can answer my problem is Jesus. So Job says to his friends, if you're the people, wisdom will die with you. He means it ironically. You're fools, he's saying to them, and I don't trust a word you say to me, and I won't listen to a word you say to me. I want something better to answer to me. And so he says, if a man die, shall he live again? Now, what does he mean there? Well, if you look at verse 7, he says, if you cut a tree down, it'll sprout again. Just give it the scent of water and it'll sprout. But, he says, when a man is cut down by death, what can make him live again? Now, what Job is getting at is this. He's not saying, if I die, can God revive me by some form of ministry? What he's saying is, is life continuous? And remember this, Jesus said, if a man believe in me, he shall not see death. You will taste death, because Jesus tasted death for you. You'll die, but you'll not see death. You see, Moody, when he was standing preaching when he was an old man, said very soon, and he said to a huge congregation, very soon you will see an obituary in the paper which says Moody is dead. Don't believe a word of it, he said. I shall be very much alive. And that's you. You have a continuity of life. Your body will stand before God. That's why you look after it and keep it with such jealous care. And don't tattoo it or cut it or do anything else to it. Your body is given you to live forever and ever and ever. Jesus had a body like unto us. Flesh and bones, he said, but not blood. He never mentioned blood. Your body will live in heaven. There is a man in the throne of God, and you as a person will go to heaven. Your body will lie down in the grave and be gathered at the judgment day, but you will never see death. Your eyes are set for the light, the darkness is behind you, the world is marching into darkness, and the light is behind them, and they love it that way. You are the opposite. Now, that is what Job is getting at here, that he says, will I have a continuous life? And the answer of Jesus is, yes, though he die, yet shall he live. Now, I want to show you something else then. Job says, if I could get an answer to that one question, I would be perfectly happy. Look at what he says in verse 14. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. He says, if once I've got that settled, I can do anything. And I tell you this, Archimedes worked out that if you could get a fulcrum, that is the point where you lever from, outside the world, he as one man could lift the world. Just him alone could lift the whole mighty world. And it's the fulcrum outside. Once you are assured, without any doubt, that you'll live again, you'll lose your fear. And once you've lost your fear, the righteous are as bold as a lion. The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. And I watch our nation flee when no man pursues it. And I watch the righteous in it, they stand their ground. Now, that's where Job stood. He said, once I know that, I can. Do you know for a surety, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life? Hath everlasting life? Not come into condemnation, but is now passed from death unto life. That's the gospel that Job is putting in front of us. You see, Jesus in 1 Timothy 6:16 brought life and immortality, that's deathlessness literally, to life. Jesus brought deathlessness to life, and that is where it stands. Now there's a third question in Job chapter 16 and verse 19, and there's many of these questions in Job, but we'll hear this one. And now, behold, my witness is in heaven and my record on high. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. This is Eliphaz has been speaking in the second round. And he says as strongly as he can, suffering is a result of personal sin. So, chapter 16 and verse 1, Job answers him. And you look what he says. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. You go on saying this time after time, he says. So Job goes through all God is doing to him in this chapter we're looking at, chapter 16. And he says at the end in verse 19, my witness is in heaven and my record on high that I haven't done these horrible things. And that's what he's saying here. Now this is Job's immense conviction. And he's absolutely sure. So then, though his friends scorn him on earth, he is sure that he has this witness. Now what does it mean, my witness is on high? Well, this is a place where the new versions have got closer than the authorized version. It isn't a witness, it's a recorder. And it isn't a recorder. No word of ours can translate it. It is this. Someone who is utterly reliable, who sees, knows all, and sums it up correctly. So he says, my recorder who sees everything about me and can sum up anything about me, sees to the depths of me, knows all about me, and weighs it all up correctly, is in heaven. And my record on high. Now, you turn to Hebrews. And that's a book written to show all the Old Testament symbolism is now real in Christ. The tabernacle and each part of it, the Holy of Holies. Well now, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24, you'll see the answer given to Job. It's a wonderful answer. And it's this. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So, it's like this. Jowett was a great preacher, Dr. Jowett, in Birmingham in the 19th century. It always interested me because the parish I had bordered on Newtown. And in Newtown there was a place where Dr. Jowett preached on the Sunday afternoon to over 10,000 people regularly. And as he preached, he won many people to Christ. He was visiting one day. Never despise visiting. People say it's a waste of time only because they haven't understood how to visit. And the lady said to him, Dr. Jowett, what is your opinion of God? Jowett glowered. He didn't often glower in life. And he said to the woman, he said, my opinion of God isn't important, and I wouldn't have such impertinence as to have an opinion. But night and day I labour and fear God's opinion of Dr. Jowett. And that's exactly what Job is saying. I have someone whose opinion of me I care about. Now, whose opinion do you care about? really and honestly, which opinion, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, which opinion do you care about? Your friends, your workplace? You have an opinion you care about. Be honest with yourself. Well, now, Job had one opinion. So did Dr. Jowett. And that was the opinion of the Lord God about him. Thou God seest me. We must close there. But God give you to answer these questions. Amen. And so...